She said, I told my daughter, whoever that is, that person is loved. across as overwhelming support. So we just thank God. Amen. You never know exactly what God is doing and exactly how he's going to do it, but God is faithful. Amen. We may not always see and understand. The song said we'll understand it how? We won't understand it worse by and by, but we'll understand it better by and by. I know it's a little hot, so don't let the heat tie your tongues. Amen. So we do bless the Lord. We thank God for my wife still pressing her way and being a blessing. And we thank God for all of you. Amen. Bible study is so important because, you know, it's good to hear. Let me get rid of this bee. What did George? You got to get back on your bee patrol. We kill the bees. Amen. But bee threw me off. I was saying something. But nevertheless, let's just stand for our scripture reading. Amen. Let's stand for our scripture reading, which will be coming from. I was going to do Genesis 23 tonight, but I didn't do it. I think you're going to have to hit the flash for it. You see it? I was going to do Genesis 23 tonight, but there's so much involved in that. I would kind of butcher it if I tried to do anything with it because I didn't put enough time into it. So what we're going to do is we're going to go over what we went over on Sunday again. Amen? So we're going to start off in Psalms, the 63rd division of Psalms, and we're going to read verses 1 through 8 together. Amen?
Amen.
Verse 1 reads, O God, thou art, isn't that wonderful to be able to have that testimony? O God, thou art
my God.
Not just a God, but thou art
my God.
Early
will
I seek thee. My soul thirsts for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory. So as I perceive thee in the sanctuary, because thy loving kindness is better than life,
my lips shall praise
thee. Thy loving kindness is what? Better than life. God, you're better to me than life. So my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee. While I live, I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. And my mouth shall praise thee with
joyful lips.
You're gonna praise what kind of lips?
Joyful lips.
Joyful lips. A lot of people praise God, but it's not with some joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed, meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth
hard after thee.
He said, my soul is just following you in a faint way. I'm not just seeking God in a passive way, but my soul followeth
hard after thee.
Thy right hand upholdeth me. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. And the church said,
the word of the Lord is blessed already.
Amen. So tonight, we're going to continue what we went over, as I said, on Sunday. Are you longing after God? And I think it's so fitting, this song that they were singing, that we were singing prior to this. You are the Abri. But the part in particular that came to, that I've heard it many times, but the part that I focus on tonight is, Lord, I'm desperate for you. How many of us tonight are desperate for the Lord? How many really are desperate for God? And he said, I am what? Lost without you. Meaning we need God for everything in our lives to help sustain us. Amen. So as we went over on Sunday, this is the time in David's life where he had miserably failed God. And he was fleeing from his own son Absalom, which we will get into a little later. So, and the Bible said, even though David had miserably failed God, the Bible calls David a what? Man after God's own heart. Which means we don't have to be perfect.
Amen.
To be right with God.
Amen.
Amen. The devil many times will use our shortcomings and our failures to make us think, God, you know, you ever think, God, can you really love me as bad as I am? Or as bad as I messed up? I'm saying if you are really a real person and are not way up here and think that you're above everything, we all fall short and fail. But don't allow your failures to be your spiritual handicap. Don't allow your failures to be a spiritual handicap. Amen. You got to get up for where you are. Don't stay there. So David had miserably failed God. And I want to read just also, let's actually, why don't we just start off in the notes? We can start off in the notes. You all don't have them, but they will be on the screen. Amen. Actually, I didn't have notes until somebody came in and said, "Oh, you don't have notes? We got to get our Bibles." I said, "Well, I better put notes for those that might not have their Bibles." So, since for the sake of being anonymous, I won't mention that name. Amen. So I said, "Well, I'll put the notes on the screen." Because what I'm interested more than anything is that the Word of God find a lodging place in our heart.
Amen.
A lot of times we hear, but we don't hear. Amen. We see, but we don't see. So the desire is not just to hear and see, but may the Word of God find a lodging place in our heart. Amen. So I'm just going to go to, just on the first page, when he says, "My flesh longeth," longeth is the Hebrew word kema. All right, and the Hebrew kema means to faint after God. It means I faint after God. In other words, everything else around me is completely oblivious. My whole concentration and my being is on God. So David had failed God, but he said, everything around me is oblivious. I'm oblivious to it. The only thing that counts now is I want to be back with God. Amen? And the reference, the question was, when was the last time you longed or fainted for a lack of God's presence? Amen. These are the questions we can ask. Forget about people. Amen. At some point in all of our lives, we're going to expire from this earth. And we're going to be with God. And the thing is, if you don't spend time with God now, how can you spend time with God later? Alright, so when was the last time you fainted alone just for God's presence? That's what David is describing. The word is kemah, which means pale face or unconscious without God. David is in a state of unconsciousness. The blood drained from his head and down he went. In that state of total forgetfulness, David senses the absence of God and realizes that he is going to wake up. He is going to wake up unless God shows his love. Amen. When is the last time you just are desperate for God? Now, we are desperate for a whole lot of situations. Amen. We desire and long for a lot of things. But when is the last time you definitely were desperate for God? Now, we're going to go to Psalms 42. Psalm 42, we're going to read verses 1 through 5. This is another time. Another psalm that David wrote when he was fleeing from his own son Absalom, who was desiring to kill him, and in a few minutes we will go over portions of that. Amen. Verse 1 of Psalm 42. Now, we're talking about being desperate for God, and then Elder Tinsley brought out something to me that I didn't know that I'll bring out in a few minutes about the heart panting after the water broke. So, verse 1 reads, "As the heart panteth," which is Arabic, means to cry after or to long for. "The heart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God." So after Altesi told me this, he said, many times when a deer is in trouble, it runs. And when it runs, when it can't get away from the dogs that are chasing it, it jumps in the water. And then when he jumps in the water, which is the water brooks, he jumps in the water, all that you can see of the deer is the nose is above the water. And it's amazing how God instinctively put in a deer, because dog can't follow your scent in water. Right? So when a deer's in trouble, he runs to the water brooks. He jumps in the water, and he's fleeing from danger. So David's not fleeing from our own son Absalom. I'm fleeing from danger, just like the heart at the water brooks. Oh, what a mighty God we serve.
Yes.
Even in danger, amen, you can get to a place where the enemy cannot find you. Can we say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
So pen my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the a lot of times we talk about God, we talk about a spiritual relationship. But we don't talk about a living God. We don't talk about God being alive in our spirits and our souls. Amen. We search and look for God. It's sort of like the women when they went to find Jesus. They went to the tomb and they asked the angels, thinking that it was God, and said, "Where have you laid him?" They said, "Why are you seeking the living amongst the dead?" So many times we are seeking for a live relationship with God, but we're looking for it in a dead place. And then we blame God because we can't find him. God is not dead, the Son said he is. How many know I can feel him in my hands?
Yes.
I can feel him in my feet.
Yes.
I can feel him all over me because God's not dead. Thank you, Jesus. So he said, "My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear?" Now remember, David is fleeing. He's living in caves. He's living in the wilderness. He has forsaken Jerusalem. He's no longer able to go to the temple or the sanctuary where God is. But all David wants in his desperation is to appear back with God.
Amen.
How many of us have got to the place where I just got to be with God?
Amen.
I'm desperate for you. Lord, I'm lost without you.
Yes.
David said, "In my desperation, my tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me." When you get at a low point, people like to mock you. They like to try to shame you. Say, "Yeah, you've been saved, you believe in God. Look at your state that you're in now." How do you know all it takes is for God to speak a word and your whole situation will turn around? So they're mocking them, say, "Where is our God?" And you know what? You gotta have by faith. The Bible said, "By faith we call those things that be not
as
though they were." By faith. Verse 4 says, "When I remember these things, I pour out my
soul."
Desperate. Not just faint. Not just, "Oh God," sometimes you're so busy, all you can say, just, "Oh God, remember this." David said, "Listen, I'm desperate."
Yes.
In my desperation.
Yes.
I'm reaching out to God with my whole soul.
Yes, yes.
I'm reaching out to God with my whole heart. I'm reaching out to God with my whole being. You know, you ever get to some of those points in your life, in your spiritual desperation, the phone ringing, you don't have time for the phone.
Right.
Somebody could be knocking at the door, I don't have time for that. I'm trying to get a hold of God. I'm trying to find a place of God where I once used to be. So in my desperation, Monday, every day things don't mean anything. My soul is following hard after God.
Yes.
Amen. That's when you're desperate. That's when you don't listen to what people say. You don't allow other influences to distract you from following God. Can we say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
He said, "Well, remember thee, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude." I went with them to the David said, "I'm out here running in the wilderness. I'm going from cave to cave, trying to just survive." He said, "But all I can remember is when I used to be in the house of God." Hallelujah. Something about God's house. Something about being in God's presence. All day they could say his soul was falling hard after God. His soul was desiring God. So all day they said, "I got to get back to the place of God where I could just feel his presence." Because in his presence is the fullness of joy. And his right hand's a pleasant evermore. David said, "In God's favor is life. We tonight, how many times has God called us when we were lost in church. God is speaking mightily to our soul and spirit, and we go to a man. Amen. Because we do not yet know how to fully engage ourselves to be in contact with God. So Samuel was in the temple. He was in the church. But he was still lost. Amen. You got to learn to hear God's voice. So when God is speaking to you, you are to be able to say, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." Amen. So sometimes we are in church, but we are still not in the place of God where we need to be. Can we all just say, "Thank you, Lord"?
Thank you, Lord.
With the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude they kept holy day. He said, "Why art thou, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall." Well, what are you thinking at right now? He's in the wilderness, fleeing for his life, going from cave to cave. And if you read about it, remember he had hidden in the side of the cave and Saul came in to flee. And he said, "Here's your enemy. You have a chance to kill him now." David says, "Shall I touch God's anointed?" Amen. So you got to, even in your desperation, you got to have your spiritual awareness. Amen. Even in your danger, you still got to have your spiritual awareness. David said, "Touch not God's anointed and do his prophets." Even when you're messed up, have your reverence for God. "For yet will I praise him for the help of his countenance." David said, "You know what? I'm all messed up, but I need God's presence. So I want to praise him, because when I praise him, even in the wilderness, his countenance, his presence will come and help me." Can we say thank you, Jesus? All right, now, this is David in his desperation. And we went over on Sunday, what caused David to flee was that when the kings went out to battle, David was supposed to be with the army fighting the battle, but David stayed home. And while he was at home, went in a place where he should be. How many know when you go somewhere you ought not to be, that you usually winds up in some kind of trouble? Right? Come on, I don't want to know you. When you go somewhere you're not supposed to be, you usually wind up in trouble. That just reminds me of when I was a little kid. I was about 12 years old. And you know when your parents leave, all y'all ain't been so persecuted. Don't look at me all funny. You know how when your parents leave the house, they say, "Don't you go nowhere?" Mm-hmm. Right? They said, "When you leave, we stay here. We were living at West Point." They go so far, they didn't know what we would be doing. So they told me once, my father and mother said, "When we leave, don't you leave the house." I'm like, "Y'all can't see me." So they left. A few minutes later, I left. Went to my friend's house. Sometimes dogs kind of have like some prejudices. I don't know if y'all know this. Seriously. Dogs have some prejudices, right? This dog, they wouldn't be some black people. This is the truth. This is honest. I had my friend, the Millers, they had a dog. We wouldn't be some white people. It wouldn't bother nobody black. But let somebody white come, right? So this dog wouldn't be some black people, so I'm there, everybody else is running around the dog having a good time. I'm somewhere I ought not to be. That big German Shepherd was as big as me, all of a sudden he riled up and started. I don't know how I stopped the dog biting me. You know, I just kept going like this. The more he got, the more I did this. You know what I did when I left? When he finished, I went home. Because I knew I was somewhere I should not have been. That taught me a lesson. At an early age, don't go places where you are not to be. If he would have gotten a hold of me, I couldn't even hear. My parents to this day don't know I left the house. But I can guarantee you one thing, that was the last time I left the house. Because I realized I was somewhere I should not have been. But David was somewhere he should not have been. He should have been with the army fighting. He stayed home. And then in the evening hour, he went out and walked upon the roof of the house, and he saw Bathsheba. He sinned with Bathsheba. She had a child, and he tried to cover the sin by having her husband come, then he had her husband killed. Alright, so that would be 2 Samuel chapter 11. Now 2 Samuel chapter 12. We're trying to figure out how David is fleeing and why David is running from God. But how does God call David? A man after his own heart. Amen. Well, 2 Samuel 12, 1 reads, "And the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, There were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing, save one little ewe lamb, which he had brought and nursed up. And he grew up together with him and with his children, and he eat of his own meat, and drink of his own cup, and lay in his bosom, and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock, and of his own herd, to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled." It's hard to just, it's easy, I mean, to judge somebody else. You know, it's so easy to judge somebody else. David's like, "What? He did this, so he got angry." And he didn't realize that Nathan was talking about him. So his anger was what? Greatly kindled against the man. He said to Nathan, "As the Lord liveth, the man that has done this thing shall surely die. And he shall restore the land fourfold, because he did this thing, and because he had no pity." And Nathan said to David, "Thou art the man." You ever have a situation where you can easily judge somebody else? When somebody else is going through something, you got all the answers for them. Till it comes full circle. Then you're lost. So David's able to answer for somebody else, but now he's caught in the middle of that parable that is given. He said, "Thou art a man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul, and I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I will also have given unto thee such and such a thing." You know what God said? He said, "I bless you. You don't have to be dishonest and trying to get more. Just ask me." I mean, anybody been blessed with God and then blessing, say, "Wow, if I'm a little dishonest, I can get more." Just ask. Because the scripture says, you what?
Ask and you shall receive.
All right, the answer is have not because you ask. So you
have not because you ask not.
So he tells David, he said, "Listen, I gave you everything you wanted, and if you wanted more, all you had to do was
ask."
Amen. So he's dealing with David and saying, "Such and such a thing. Wherefore hast thou despised?" He said, "Why did you have no reverence for my word? Why did you take my word so lightly, amen, to do evil in this sight? Thou hast..." Well, let me ask you, did anybody tell God, how did God know that David killed Uriah the Hittite? Because nobody would have told him. Because God sees everything. All right, so sometimes we think, about 30 years go by, nobody remember. God says, "I see, I got the record." Time has gone by, God still has the record. Amen. And David, just sometimes we get like a David, we think that God has forgotten. But guess what? He never forgets. Nobody has to tell God what you've done. Because the Bible says there's nothing that is done in secret that shall not be revealed. Amen. You cannot hide from God. Can we say thank you, Jesus? Amen. He said, "You have killed Uriah the Hittite. And thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee he is reaping what he sowed. Right? God is such a fair God. Amen. He's reaping what he sowed. You cannot sow to the flesh and think you will not reap of the flesh. If we sow to the Spirit, what better place to sow than to the Spirit? Because if you sow to the Spirit, you will not reap of the Spirit. That's the scripture. Amen. He says, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes, and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of his son. For thou, nobody else knew, but God knew. Amen. Thou sinned it secretly. Thou planned to lie secretly, but God knew. He said, for thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before Israel and before the sun. And David said unto Nathan, that's what made David a man after God's own heart. He might have tried to cover it high, but when he was confronted with his wrong, he didn't blame anybody else. He plainly said, I have sinned. Amen. We all will come up short. Don't be so proud that you don't say, I messed up. I'm not talking about sin. Sometimes it's just a little fall. But God resists the what? Proud. But he gave it grace unto the humble. In everyday English, it means as long as you're proud, God can't help you, and God won't help you. But when you humble yourself, God can help you. So sometimes you look at somebody and say, how long can you keep going in the wrong way? As long as you say, no. Because God can't reach you, God can't help you as long as you're proud. But the moment you say, God, I'm humble, I need help, then you get grace. And that's when God helps you. Amen. No charge for that. You can throw that in your little piggy bank and save it for a little time. Amen. And David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also has put away thy sin. Hey, I didn't give you this. Can you pull, I told you, yeah, so pull up Proverbs 28:13 for me. All right, for a second. Proverbs 28:13. Yeah, I know y'all read it. This is the fifth month, so y'all already read it. Y'all didn't read it yet. Y'all won't read this at the end of the month, because we'll read one book of Proverbs every day of the month. So this is day number 9, so we'll be in Proverbs 9 chapter. The Bible. I know y'all ain't. All right, I just have to always throw it in. But it says, he that what? Shall not prosper. But are y'all with me? If you try to cover what you've done wrong, you won't prosper. But if you confess it and forsake it, then you shall have mercy. So a lot of times we say, I've been caught. So we confess it. But we do it again. There ain't no mercy. Right? Because when you confess it, you have to also forsake it. Now, pull up Psalms 32. All right? Now, this is extra. All right? This ain't in the notes, but it's... We're living in a day and time where we think we can hide from everything, including God. You cannot hide from God. God sees everything. God hears everything. Amen. Psalm 32:1 says, blessed is he whose his transgression is what? And his
sin is covered.
When your transgression are forgiven, your sin is covered, you're what? Blessed. So if you don't have your transgressions forgiven, your sins covered, are you blessed? Amen? Amen. This is my class, right? So we all talk to each other. If you got something that has not been forgiven, and if it's not covered, are you blessed? Well, that sin or transgression will hold back your blessing until you get it right. Where verse 2 goes on to say this. Blessing is the man whom the Lord iniquity is when you try to hide or cover your sin like David did. that sees everything. Amen. I mean, how is it possible to hide from God and whose spirit there is? So let's say it for a second. So iniquity is you're trying to cover it. God is you make up a lie for why you did it. God means to lead away into deception. Well, the only reason I did it is because of this, because of that. The only reason you did it is because of sin that was in your own heart. James said, every man is sin when he's drawn away of his own lust, then thus I did have conceived, bringing forth sin, and sin when it is finished, bringing forth death. Amen. So God is you trying to blame others for what you've done when the fault is all on you. God is deception. God is trying to mislead, misguide. I say, well, the only reason I did it is because of this. The only reason you did it is because your relationship is not right with God. Because if your relationship is right with God, you don't let anyone or anything else influence you the wrong way. Verse 3. When I kept silence, they was talking about I knew I messed up with Bathsheba. I knew I committed a sin by having her husband killed. He said, but when I kept silence, that thing was eating me alive. It was wearing me out, all right? He said, my bone waxed old through the roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was. Whenever you're wrong, God tries to redirect you. He said, but your hand was what?
Heavy upon me.
Amen. My marshes turned into the drought of summer.
Selah.
And we're finished here. I acknowledge
my sin.
This is David. A man after God's own heart. He said, listen, Hannah is me trying to cover or hide this situation. Because I'm going to acknowledge what you already know. Amen. He said, I'm not going to blame it on anyone. You know, a lot of times people say, the only reason I did this is because, the only reason we do anything is because we don't have our relationship right with God. Because of our relationship right with God, we check ourselves at the door. He said, I acknowledge my sin unto thee and my iniquity.
Have I not hid?
Lord, I just want to be right. So I'm going to acknowledge that I've done wrong. And my iniquity have I not hid? I said, I will confess
my sin.
My transgression unto the person that I did wrong with. I'm going to confess my transgression unto the who? The Lord. And thou forgavest the iniquity
of my sin.
And listen, I didn't just sin. I didn't just sin, but I had iniquity. Because after I sinned, I tried to plot and connive to hide. So I'm going to confess the iniquity of my sin. All right, let's go back to the note. We took y'all off course moment. Alright, so let's go back. He said, how many of you calls? We're going back to 2 Samuel 12:14. 2 Samuel. So David said, I'm just going to, I can't cover or hide from God, so I'm going to what? Confess my sin, my iniquity. Verse 14 says, how many of you calls this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme? The child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. Now, 1 Samuel 13, verses 13 to 14, tell us something about the nature and the character of David before he sins. Amen. Not after he sins, but what? Before he sins. Which lets us know that all of us have God-given leading in us. So if by chance you go astray, come back to God. Long to be back with God so you can be right with God. Because if you die in your sin, you cannot go to heaven. Amen. So somebody said, I don't want to get it right because I don't want to be ashamed. I'd rather be ashamed of man and be right with God. Amen. So 1 Samuel 13:13 said, and Samuel said to Saul, thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept. Anytime we disobey God, we're acting foolish. Not under any circumstance. You know, like I said, I don't like to refer back to this, so I won't refer back to this. All right, because that's not. I wouldn't refer back to it, so I won't refer back to it. So don't try to figure out what I'm not referring back to. Well, you should now allow yourself to be in a position where any individual, no matter if it is the highest in spiritual person, should cause you to do anything wrong in the sight of God.
Amen.
Amen. No matter, well, I only did it. Don't allow anyone to cause you. I just don't want to go there too far. But don't allow anyone to cause you to be wrong with God. And I'm surprised at the number of godly people that have allowed godly leaders to twist God's word to make them sin and tell them what God understands and God knows. Yes, God understands and knows he doesn't want you to sin. Amen? That's good enough for that. Which he commanded thee, for now will the Lord have established our kingdom upon Israel. If you just do right before God, God will establish you. It might not happen now, but God will establish you. But now my kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought him a man. Wait a minute. David's a man after God's own heart, but he still fell into sin. Amen. You don't have to be perfect to be forgiven. But you have to be perfect to be right with God. You have to be perfect to be right. Stop trying to please people. Amen. I learned that years ago. You can't please people and be right with God. If you be right with God, now this, don't get this, Proverbs 16:7. Oh, well, I'm living quoted to you.
Amen.
Proverbs 16:7. Pull it up for me. Pull it up. It said, when a man ways please another person, when you're pleasing another man, when you're pleasing a boss, when you listen, don't please anybody above God. Because when a man ways please the
Lord,
he make it even your enemies to be at. How many want peace?
Amen.
Then please God. And forget about what man can give you, because whatever man gives you, God can turn it around and take it away. Amen. So he said, but now thy kingdom, back to 1 Samuel 13:14, but now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought him a man at his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord. Don't allow yourself to ever listen to an individual over God. You know what's so good? David said that God's hand was heavy upon him. When you mess up, God always comes back to redirect you. Because the Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and God orders our steps through his word. Right? So whenever we're off track, God tries to redirect us. Now the problem of God redirecting us is when we get stubborn and refuse to surrender to God, then God can't help. Amen. So Acts 13:21-23 is the same thing. Alright. Now if we go to Psalm, let's go to Psalm 51. Alright, this is, we just read his account in Psalm 30. This situation was really heavy upon David, you know, because he realized that his sin had caused him to fall out of favor with God. God can't bless. God is when you try to misrepresent the truth. God is when you're not honest, when you're not sincere. You know, you ever get caught up something? Say, well, why'd you do this? You can't think of anything, you don't want to look bad, so you make something up, that's God. You did it because you did it. Well, the only thing I did is because such and such was doing this, and such God said, now look, he's nah, come on. And God said, you know better than that. So God is when you're not honest with yourself. God is deception. God is when you intentionally try to mislead someone for benefit. But there ain't no benefit if you mislead someone and God knows the truth. Can we say amen? All right, so this is it. When Nathan approached David, David said, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercy. He says, what? This word blot out means, and we went over it not too long ago for those who remember, the word blot out means to forgive my sin as though it never happened. And the word in the New Testament, guilty, but God forgives you as though you never committed it. Amen. He says, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me. David is telling, there's a difference between iniquity and the sin was with Bathsheba, the iniquity was when he tried to cover it. So if you're wrong, admit it. That's the sin. The iniquity is when you try to cover it. Amen. So David said, Lord, forgive me of my sin, wash me of my iniquity, cleanse me of my sin. For now is my transgression, and my sin is ever before thee. All right. Now, you're going to read the rest of that in your spare time if you don't have a notes, okay? But the first intent of this says, create in me a. David said, I realize that I messed up. You know, and this is what made God such a great God. When we mess up, we can ask God to forgive us and to remake us over. So to create is to make something out of nothing. Right? David doesn't say make this heart right. He says create within me. Give me something new. God, I don't want the old heart. I don't want my old mind. I don't want my old way of thinking. I want you to have me as a new recreation. Amen. Create within me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. I'll give a few minutes. So that there are two types of fainting. Now to long or faint after God, or you can long and faint without God. You can long and faint after God, or you can faint without God. If you're fainting after God, that's a good sign. If you faint without God, that's not a good sign. All right? So let's go to 2 Peter 1, verses 3 through 4. Good fainting is total dependence on God for everything in life. What kind of fainting? Good fainting. So when I faint, I mean, I'm long enough to God faint. Everything in life. Amen. And Peter says here, according as his divine power has given unto us some things, a few things. God's presence, God's Spirit has given unto us all things that pertain unto. So wait a minute. If I get God's presence and God's Spirit, I have all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Through the what? Knowledge of him that has called us unto glory and virtue, whereby I give unto us exceeding great and precious. I got to find that place where I can find all things. Where I can have exceeding great and precious promises. Anybody want some precious promises? Amen. That you might escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. And if you read the rest of it, it says, now add to. Right? Every child of God, we should never take away from godly nature. We should add to it. He said, if you do these things, you shall never fall. Right? If you add to, if you increase in godliness and spirituality, you shall never fall. But he that lacketh spiritual growth is blind. And cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sin. So sometimes you need to remember where God has brought you from. Amen. We went over the majority of this on Sunday. There's also bad fainting, which is the Greek word ekarkeo. It means to grow weary, to slack off, to allow difficulties to interfere with your personal relationship with God. Ekateo, allow difficulties, challenges, hardship to interfere with your personal relationship with God. And Jesus tells us, I'm just going to quote this one part of Luke 18:1, and men are always to pray and not to allow difficulties to come between your personal relationship with God. Can we say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Jesus concludes the parable by telling his disciples, to pray and seek God continuously, right? Both day and night, and that God reward their faithfulness. Amen. A lot of times we say, well, why should I do anything? Because God will always reward your faithfulness. Jesus is telling them to be faithful and persevere by not giving up. Jesus is speaking about action and not just another process of knowing God, but he's calling them to, a lot of people know God, but they don't have action for God. Amen. Are you really facing a very difficult time in life? This is something for all of us to answer. Are you facing a very difficult time in life? Are circumstances and emotions hindering your relationship with God? Are you feeling discouraged? Keep going. Faithfulness is picking yourself up, remembering who you are and who God is, and pressing on, because 2 Corinthians 4:15 said, all the stuff you're going through is not intended to overthrow you. For all things are for your sake, that the body grace may do thee. Wait a minute. I'm going through all this stuff, and I'm supposed to have some thanksgiving? Yes, because that's going to redound to the glory of God. For which cause? So I'm going to give thanks so I don't what? Faint. And then even though I don't like it, I'm going to give God praise so I don't faint. For which cause we faint not. But though it's wearing me along, wearing me out on the outside, thank God you can't see on my inside. My inner man is being renewed day by day. So you look at me and say, where is thy God? I've been in my secret closet and talking to Jesus. And I heard somebody say, a little talk with Jesus will make everything all right. Anybody been talking to the Lord lately? Galatians 6:9 says, and let us not be, don't faint, don't quit, don't give up. You've been pressing, keep on pressing. And well doing for you in due season, you shall reap if you faint. 2 Thessalonians 3:13, and we will close here. But ye, brethren, be ye. Wait a minute. Paul echoes this so many times. There's a problem. People get tired of well doing because when you do the right thing, it seems like many times we're not being blessed. God sees your faithfulness. God honors your faithfulness. So don't get tired of doing well, right? So be not weary in well doing for a due season. You shall reap if you faint not. A longing tonight to be with God. More than anything, we should long to be with God. Lord, I'm desperate for you, and I'm what? Lost without you. Amen. So tonight, who's really longing for God? What difficulties and challenges have hindered your spiritual walk? What difficulties have separated between you and your God? Can I just go to one more scripture quickly? Hey, pull up Isaiah 59 for me. Since we own this, Mike wants to stay with it. Many times we feel as though God has hid his face because we do it so well. God never hides his face when we're doing well. God hides his face when we're not doing the right thing. Amen. He said, behold, the hand of the Lord is not what? Showing that he cannot. God can deliver you. Neither is there hearing that he cannot hear. What? God can help you. God can deliver you. God can make a way for you, but your iniquities have. All that stuff that you've been trying to cover up, it has separated between you and your God. And when you don't do right, not only does it separate between you and your God, but it causes God to hide his face from you. So God can help you, but the reason God hasn't helped is because you haven't done the right thing. Amen. Praise the Lord. Longing to be back with God. You're going to read the rest of that on your spare time. My time is up, and I don't want to go overtime because I want more people to come out on Wednesday instead of less. Amen. But tonight, our greatest desire, more than anything, should be to be right with God. That should supersede everything. The psalmist said, not law, there's none that I desire on earth with thee. There's none that I desire in heaven besides thee. Yeah. God should be our greatest desire. Amen. Amen. Do we have any questions? Any questions before we dismiss? Remember God. God is you. You know what God does? It's a misrepresentation of who you really are. That's God. Don't project holiness when you have sin. Don't project being right with God when you know you're not right with God. That is called God. That's a misrepresentation of who you really are. God knows the truth. How many know God knows all about every last one of us? Amen. He said he even knows our thoughts afar off. He says in Psalm 139, that's not a word in your tongue. Behold, I know it all together. So I know your thoughts, I know your words. What can you hide from God? Amen. So do we have any questions tonight before we dismiss any? As well, stand, does anyone need prayer? Do we have anyone that needs prayer as ministers, the elders come forward? Amen. Do we need prayer tonight? I don't want to be with God. I want to be right with God. Amen. A lot of us in church, but this is a spiritual decision that we have to make. Are we in church and are we right with God? Not right with the pastor, not right with the whatever group we're in or whatever's going on, but are we right with God? You know what I love the most about God? If you're not right, God will always reach you. Remember David said, his hands were heavy upon me. God constantly reaches out to try to help us and make sure that we are on our way to heaven. We have to humble ourselves. We have to be humble enough to say, Lord, I'm wrong. Amen. It doesn't hurt to say I'm wrong. And when you fight or resist God, God allows more troubles and stumbling blocks to come in your way to try to get you back on track. I just want to hear the Lord say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Amen. I want to do the things that are pleasing in your sight. Lord, if I lose everything,